You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
This week, we're starting a new series called Make Room. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, why don't you go ahead and open up to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to get started. Before we do, I want to welcome all of our first-time guests. If you're a first-time guest in the house today, we're not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. We just want to say thank you so much for being here. And what we've got for everybody in the room today is we've got a thing called a connection card. So they're going to come around right now, and they're going to hand out those connection cards to everybody. I don't want you to write on these just yet, but if you're a guest today, we would love for you to fill out that connection card. And whenever you fill that out, I want you to feel free to know that we are not going to bother you. As a matter of fact, that is just our way of connecting with you. That's our way. We're going to send you a letter, and thank you so much for being a part of us. But we want to encourage everybody, as you get those connection cards today, we want you during the sermon, if God put somebody on your heart or put something on your heart that you need prayer for, we want you to write that down. You can turn it in at the end of the service, because here's what we do at Gateway. Every Wednesday night at 6:30, we gather for prayer. Man, we pray, we go at it, and we put all those connection cards, we retype them so that your name's not on it, but we put all those connection cards out there, and we pray over every connection card. Then, on Sunday nights at 5:30, there's a group that meets for praise and prayer over at our office. Man, they get together, they're praying, and they've got those cards, they're praying over the cards. And then on Mondays from 12 to 1, the church staff gets together, and they pray over the cards. So what we want to do is anything that you've got going on in your life, we want to know about it. We want to be able to connect with you on that and connect with you in prayer over that. So make sure you fill those out today. And if you're a guest today, we want to welcome you. So home folks, can we give all of our guests a big round of applause and thank them for being here today? Let me also mention this one last thing. This summer, we've got some activities going on for our teenagers and our kids. For our teenagers, we're going to be taking them to a youth conference here in Birmingham called Motion. It's a lot of fun, a lot of big names, a lot of bands. It'll be a blast. It'll be at the BJCC. So if you're a teenager today and you want to get some information about Motion, please sign up back at the table. Also, our kids, we're going to be taking our kids to a thing called Summer Blast for all the little guys. And as far as I know, I think it's a free event. But I will make sure that we know that later. But make sure you sign your kids up back there, too. We want to get information on them, who we're signing up, who's going to go. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. It's going to be a blast. And then today is Growth Track 101. Some of y'all have been asking me, how do I get involved in the church? How do I get plugged in? How do I get one of those green t-shirts that says, I love my church on it? The way you do that is you go through the Growth Track. And so we want to encourage everybody, if you've never been through the Growth Track, we'd love for you to go through it. Today starts 101. It's the first class. That's my class. So you get to sit down with me. You can ask me any question that I allow you to ask about the church, and I'll answer most of those. So if you want to, in the back, we already know some folks are coming, but if you want to in the back, there's a place with one of those green t-shirts, and that would be a great spot. You can go over there and just go and sign your name on it after the service is over. That way our team knows how much to prepare. But that's right after the service today. We're going to meet over at our office. They'll give you directions over there, and we'll serve you lunch. I think for 101 we serve barbecue, Boston butt, homemade, and so it'll be really, really good. So I would love to have you guys over there. Okay, now are we ready to get started with the word? Amen. Finally. Can you touch that for me? I hate announcements, to be totally honest with you. I know pastors are not supposed to say what they hate, but I hate announcements. I just hate it. I would rather preach than do announcements. And how many of y'all would rather me preach than do announcements? Oh, wow, I wish I would not have asked you to raise your hands on that one. Every so often you ask questions that are just dumb, right? And I just did. Today we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's look at verse 8, and we're going to go down through verse 10. So if you want to, follow along either on your phone or in your Bible or right here on the screen. And it says this, one day Elisha, who was a prophet, he's a man of God, very powerful man of God, a bald man of God, much like myself. Elisha went to Shunem, which is a city, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay with us whenever he comes. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for a great story today that we're going to be able to go into this story and we're going to be able to draw out some different aspects for our life that's going to change us for the better. I thank you today that you put these stories in the Bible specifically so that our lives could be changed. And so, Father, today we ask that you speak to our hearts, open up our eyes, let us see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever been in a hurry? Anybody ever been in a hurry? I'm talking about like a real hurry. Anybody been in a real hurry? Have you ever been in such a hurry that you did something really, really stupid? Anybody ever done that? Yes. Like some of you guys have been in such a hurry, you wrecked a car, or you've, my wife one time was in a hurry. She's at a gas station, and she's in a hurry, and she gets in the car, and she starts to drive without looking in front of her, and she hit a woman. I don't mean she hit the car in front of her that a woman was driving. I mean she literally hit a woman that was walking in front of the car. Tell the truth. Did you do that? You did. You did. Tap and hit. Same thing in my book. If a woman gets hit by a vehicle, she's hit. Right? Am I winning on this one? I think I am. So sometimes you do stupid things when you're in a hurry. One time, for example, I used to be a youth pastor, and when I was a youth pastor, I at the church I was at, the pastor, youth pastor was a very relative term. Like, it also meant just whatever the pastor wanted you to do, right? Like, if you ever go into ministry and someone says, I want you to be a youth pastor, just understand that you are everything as a youth pastor. And so I did a lot of stuff there, and so it was my night to lock up and turn off all the lights in the church. Now, I've told some of you this before, that you know churches at night scare me anyway, okay? Because they're creepy. Let's just be honest. I'm super glad that we meet in a PlayStation because at least here it's not that scary. But like a traditional old church at nighttime kind of creeps me out. And so I would have to be the one to lock up all the doors. Now, when I get scared, I get in a hurry because I want to get out as quickly as possible. And I know my wife is waiting on me, and I know I've got to hurry. And so I'm literally running through the church. And I'm running down the hallways, just flipping off lights, checking doors. And I went down this one hallway. And when I went down this one hallway, there was another little hallway that jutted out to the side. Now I'm running full speed, and my eye catches a light on at the end of that hallway. So I decide I've got to go turn off that light. So I just stop and turn and run to go down the hallway. The problem is, I was about this far away from the glass door in front of me that I did not notice when I was running. And I noticed it. By that point, it's too late. Bang! I just hit the glass door with my face. And whenever I hit the glass door with my face, thank God the glass didn't break, but the skin on my nose did. And I fell to the ground. I'm on my hands and my knees. And I looked down, and whenever I could finally see, there was just blood pouring all over the carpet. And I reach up and I grab my face and I'm just bleeding. You know, my first thought was not, you got to stop the blood. My first thought was not, oh my gosh, are you okay? Is your nose broken? My first thought was, how am I going to explain this to the other people that are here that doesn't make me look like a complete moron? Turns out there was no way to explain it. I just looked like a moron with a big old knot and blood just running down my face. Thank God I wasn't at this church when I did that, because some of y'all would have taken pictures of me and you would have posted all over Facebook. As far as you know right now, I could be lying about that story, so it may not be true. Of course, if you look real close, you'll see a scar on my face. The point is, sometimes when we're in a hurry, we push logic, we push other things to the side, to the margins of life. And here's the thing. Sometimes in life, when it comes to God, we push Him into the margins of our life because we get so busy, we get in such a hurry, we get going so fast in life. Our schedule is too full. Maybe we've got too much stuff going on, and so we begin to push God to the side. We start saying things like, hey, I've got to make sure I do this, and I got to make sure I do that. And so, therefore, God, I'll get to you later. I'll pray when I get a chance. I'll read my Bible when I get the opportunity. And the problem is that opportunity never comes. We keep pushing him to the side, to the point that oftentimes as Christians, we push God into Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And we say, that's when I've got God, and that will sustain me throughout the week. One of the things here at our church that we've decided to do is we just decided, hey, that's not enough. Like, Sunday morning is not enough. It's not enough for me. It's not enough for the church. And so that's why we started opening up. We got to have more prayer times. We got to have different opportunities for people to get with God. But look, even that is not enough. At the end of the day, if your only dependence on God, the only way to get to God is because of the church, then we've missed out the whole point of Christianity. See, back in this story, you thought I forgot about the story. Back in the story, here's what was happening. In those days, you had the tabernacle, right? Or the temple. In those days, it was the temple. You had the temple. And at the temple was the only place where people could come and meet with God. And you could only do that a couple of times a year. And even then, for those of us that are just normal people, we would have never had access to God. It was only for the high priest. And he would represent us before God. Isn't that a terrible way to live your life? If you've got a God that loves you and cares about you, wouldn't you want access to that at all times? These people did not have access. So this woman is at her house and she starts seeing the man of God come by and she starts thinking, hey, this guy's a man of God. This guy's holy. This guy has the direct connection to God. Let's figure out a way that we can get this guy to hang out at the house. So what did she start doing? She started urging him to come eat a meal with her. And then she said, that's not enough either. We've got to make a room for him to stay at. Today we know that in the New Testament, that was the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, we talked about that 2 weeks ago at Easter, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the separation between man and God, if you go into the temple at those times, they had a place where God was, where his presence was, and they put a huge curtain up to separate God from man. And the Bible says that whenever Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, therefore symbolically giving us, the normal man and woman, access to God. But here's what we do in Christianity today is we revert back mentally to the Old Testament and we say the only way for me to get to God is through the preacher, is through the church. When the whole time God's saying, I've given you access 24/7. I just need somebody to accept it. So the first thing, if you've got your notes today, I hope you do. I hope everybody's got notes. If you don't have your notes, hopefully my team is ready to give you notes. So if you don't have notes today, just raise your hand and somebody I know is going to come by and they're going to give you notes. But if you have notes today, let me give you the first point of the notes is this. Making room for God always, always begins with an invitation. Everybody say invitation. Oh man, I love you guys so much, but that was terrible. Let's try that one more time. Everybody say invitation. 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 There we go. We're excited a little bit more. It always begins with invitation. The Bible says this in our story. It says, she urged him to stay for a meal. In other words, she went out there and didn't take no for an answer. She saw the man of God coming by and she said, hey, will you come eat with me? And he said, you know, I really don't have time. She said, no, it's already ready. I need you just come on in and eat with me. Please come eat with me. You can't come today. Come tomorrow. Come eat with me. Every day she urged him to come eat. And finally, he showed up. Can I tell you something today? God is waiting for your invitation. God's waiting for your invitation. And you may say, yeah, but Pastor, God's with me all the time. The Bible says he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. You're right. You're right. And some of y'all say, well, I invited him into my life when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're right, you did. And the Spirit of God dwells in you if you're a Christian, if you serve God. He's in you. The problem is, it's not unlike me being married to my wife. We are together in covenant, right? We made a covenant, we put on wedding rings, and we are together in covenant, but it does not mean we are together in every activity. See, I know plenty of couples that are together in covenant and are nothing more than roommates. They they come and go and never see each other hardly, and they're not together in activity. And what God is saying is, God is saying through Jesus Christ, you and I are together in covenant. We have covenant with one another. We are together. I am with you, but I also want to be with you in every activity. I also want space, room in your life. So I would love for you to invite me in. How do we know that? We know that because the Bible says this. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It says, seek God, and you will find Him. The Bible even says in Revelation that Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. All I'm doing is waiting on somebody to open the door. He's waiting on an invitation. So how do I do that, Pastor? Well, it may be one of these things where you begin to invite Him along with you in whatever activity you're doing. One of the things I've started doing is I've started saying, okay, God, I'm going to be doing this certain thing. I'm going to go run. I'm going to go, go study. I'm going to go for a drive somewhere. I've got to go somewhere for a drive, and it's going to take me 30 minutes. So I will say, God, I invite you today to come ride with me for the next 30 minutes. I invite you to be here. What does that mean? It's not just words. To invite Him means I'm going to listen to Him. I'm going to participate in conversation with Him. I'm going to attempt to talk to Him and listen and hear what He's got to say to me. I invite Him in. Sometimes it means inviting Him in to certain aspects of our day. I had a friend of mine one time, and one of the things he would do is during his lunch break, he got like 45 minutes for lunch break. And so he would take like 15 minutes of his lunch break, and he would go out to his truck, and he would sit in his truck and roll down the windows, and he would just get out his Bible, and he would just pray for about 15 minutes and read his Bible. What did he do? He invited God to his work day. See, what we do sometimes is we draw this line between our secular world and our sacred world. We say we got God on Sunday, but on Monday that's my time. And God's saying, I didn't die for you to have your time and me to have my time. I died so that we could be together all the time. It's His desire for you to create space in your life and invite Him into that space. So the next thing I want to look at today when we're creating space, okay, how do we do it? The next thing is this. I want you to notice something in this story. It says, let's make a small room on the roof. So your next point is this. It's better to make room for God in community. Everybody say community. Community. It's better to make room for God in community. That's with us getting together. And notice the woman says, let's make a room. Now, if you're a husband in the room today, you know what let's means, right? Let's does not mean both people are up there working on the roof. Let's means that husband is up there working on the roof and that wife's down on the ground saying, no, you got to raise that up a little bit. I need a different couch up there. Someone get me a different couch. You know, it's a woman telling the man what to do, right? Am I right, fellas? The guys are like, shut up, Pastor. No, that's not right. My wife and I work equally together. No, you don't. You do not. I know you don't. You're lying in church. You need to repent later. My wife and I, we used to have this issue when we first moved into our house. She would say, hey, let's hang some pictures. And I knew that meant you hang some pictures. And I'll tell you how high to do it. And I hated it because she was helping. Yes, she was helping. And I hated it because I didn't like it because I knew that I was going to get it wrong. Right, fellas? Like, you know, you're going to go in there and you're going to be like, this one, no, a little bit lower. This way, no, a little bit higher. This way, no, a little bit lower. And I'm like, I just had it lower and higher. I went both directions. I went left and right, up and down, north, south. I will do whatever you want. I put it on the ceiling. It still didn't work. And so you get so frustrated. Right, guys? And guys are like, please shut up, Pastor. You're killing me. Here's the point. We used to do that all the time. And then she would say, like, why do you complain that we do it together or whatever? And I'd say, because you're always telling me what to do and I can do this, you know, acting like a 5-year-old. I can do this by myself. Until the one time she let me do it by myself. And then she came in the room and brought her mom in the room, which is, you know, Jesse knows how I feel. It brought her mom into the room. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, that's way wrong. Like, that's crooked, and it's not even over the window, and it's curtains, right? And so then I realized very quickly, I always need someone to help me. The same is true with our spiritual life. We ask God, we say, God, I'm going to make room for you. And then we try and do it all by ourselves because we get this mindset that whenever we become a Christian, that all of a sudden we've got to do everything ourselves or we're not mature. But let me tell you something. The Bible says in the New Testament 59 times. There are 59 one another commandments. What's that, Pastor? It's things like be at peace with one another, love one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, serve one another in love, right? Carry each other's burdens, encourage one another, forgive one another. 59 times the New Testament tells you to get with other people. It is so important and so vital to your Christian walk to have that let's be a part of it. I told my wife the other day, I said, babe, I said, I don't make up these sermons, right? You know that. Like, I don't make this up just like right before I preach. So this is something God's been speaking to me for a couple of weeks now or maybe a month. And I told my wife the other day, I said, babe, I've just got to, like God is speaking to me. I have got to make room in my life for him. Like, I've made a little bit of room, but I've got to create more space for God in my life. And so I told her that. And so then the other day she comes up to me. She's like, how'd it go? You know, making room for God in your life. Did you do that today? And I'm like, no. You know, like I felt like such a sinner. But then all of a sudden I felt so good because I thought, hey, there's somebody that's willing to help me in the things that I proclaim to do. It was a woman who said, let's make a room. But she needed the man to help her do it. I'm going to say, I want to make room. I'm going to say, I want to be a Christian. I'm going to say, I want to do whatever God's got for me to do. But then it's up to someone else to help me do it. This is a race that we race together, not on our own. On our own. That was dumb. That's why I need you here to help me with my grammar. I just thought of something really funny when I said that. And I know I'm running out of time, but can y'all hear a funny story? It's probably only funny to me. But the other day, and I don't see her here, she had to slip out. Thank God she had to slip out. The other day, my sister-in-law, never mind. My sister-in-law the other day was, we were somewhere, and she said something about, she said, yeah, I scream at this, and I was like, what did she say? Scream. She screamed at something. And then like a couple of days later, we're in the car and I'm about to violate everything that I just told her in the car. And she said, scream again. I said, Wendy, I have not wanted to embarrass you in front of people by telling you, but I'm fairly certain that scream is not a word. Like, scram is a word, but scream is not a word. And she's like, yeah, it is. It's past tense of scream. I was like, I mean, it might be. Like, maybe I'm not super educated, but I'm fairly certain that scream is not. So, I mean, I'll let you guys judge whether it is or isn't, but I'm still pretty sure it's not. So anyways, I honestly can't even remember what I was saying. Oh, I helped her out. I was helping her, right? So I was there to help her out. I'll have to forgive. I mean, she'll have to forgive me later. The last thing, and this is where I want to close. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get off on these stupid tangents, and that's my bad. You'll get over it, though. If you're listening to this on a CD right now or on the internet, just fast forward through that part. The last thing is this, listen, and this is important. We need to understand this because all the time we're talking about making room. I got one more thing. If you're going to make room in your life for God, you're going to have to convert some space that was already meant for something else. And that's really kind of the most practical part of all of this message because I've talked about make room and you got to invite him in. And then I said, in order to make room, it's better to do it in community with other people, right? That's what small groups are for. So you can do stuff with other people. But then the last thing, I mean, the next thing is this. You got to convert some space. The roof in those days was a flat roof, and they used that roof for different things. Sometimes they used it for storage, right? They would take all their stuff, kind of like our attics today. They would take all their junk and put it up on the roof. You know, stuff they may need for the winter, they'd throw it up there and store it. They also used the roof sometimes to put food up there. They would take wheat that they wanted to dry out and convert to flour. And so they would take it up there and lay out their wheat and put all their stuff up there to dry it out. So the roof is not just an empty space. The roof is already purposed for something. And so this woman and her husband had to go in order to make room for God, they had to go in and create space and convert something that was already meant for something else. One thing I love about this church, if you're new to Gateway today, you're going to find this out about this church. This is a very cool church, in my opinion. Not because of the stuff we've got, but because of the people we have. And here's the thing about the people in this church. When we do a fast, when we say, okay, we're going to fast for 21 days, right, and pray. We do that at the beginning of every year. Fast and pray for 21 days. One of the things I noticed about this church is instead of always fasting like foods, a lot of times the people in this church will fast things like television, internet, Facebook, Twitter, and they all of a sudden they start doing these fasts. They start saying, I'm going to fast sports radio. I'm going to fast just music in general in the car. And why do they do that? They do that because they've decided to convert some space. It wasn't bad stuff. Facebook isn't bad. Sports radio isn't bad. But they decided, I need to make room in my life for God, so I'm going to take a space I'm already using for something else and convert it. So it takes me 15 minutes to get to work, and I'm listening to sports radio. So instead, what I'm going to do is take that 15 minutes, and I'm going to put my Bible on CD in there. I'm going to listen to the Bible on my phone, or I'm going to put on worship music, or I'm not going to listen to any music at all, and I'm just going to pray all the way to work for 15 minutes. What have I done? I've created space for God by converting space that I was already using. Some of you are saying right now, you're saying, but Pastor, I want to create room for God, but my schedule... Look, all you got to do is find one part of your schedule that you can convert. And we make it so hard. We say, you got to pray for an hour or 2 hours, or you got to spend this amount of time with God. I promise you, this woman, she didn't give the whole house. She gave a small room on the roof. Some of you need to start with 5 minutes. God's saying, if I can just get 5 minutes, I'll do more in your life in 5 minutes than what you've been getting. Because you hadn't given me anything so far. If you would just give me 5 minutes, if you'll just give me a small room in your house, if you'll just give me a closet, that'll be enough room for me to work right now. And I promise you this, as we begin to give God a little bit of room, as we begin to convert some space for God, and He begins to fill that space up, we'll start noticing that we need to continue to give Him more room. Here's why. Let me end with this. When we make room for God, we make room for His blessings in our life. We make room for His blessings in our life. The woman says this, verse 14, skip down to verse 14. And here's what's happened. Elisha is so enamored by having this space. He's like, this is so awesome that she gives me this room. I can study, I can rest, I can eat. I have a place to go to stop on my way without paying for a hotel or whatever, right? And so he's so enamored, he tells his servant, he says, call the woman up here. And we are going to bless her. And he calls her in and he says, listen, what do you want? Like, what can I bless you with? Can I go talk to a king for you? Can I talk to the commander of the army for you? Is there anything I can do for you? And the woman says, look, I've got family. My husband's rich. I don't need anything. And she walks out. Like this is something that's amazing to me, is because sometimes I feel like, maybe in myself, maybe you don't do this because you're more spiritual than me, but one of the things I do sometimes is I say, I need to spend time with God so I can get blessed. But here's the thing, this woman says, I don't need a room for the man of God so I can get blessed. I just need a room for the man of God so he shows up at my house. Like, I just want to be closer to God. Whatever I can do to hear a word from God, whatever I can do to be near to God, I want to do. And here's the cool thing. When she did that, then God blessed her. Look at what happens. Verse 14, Elisha is talking to his servant again. He says, what can be done for her? She says she doesn't want anything. What can I do for her? I don't care that she doesn't want anything. I still want to bless her. Isn't that how God is sometimes? He says, I just want to bless you because I love you. I care about you. I want to be a blessing to you. And Gehazi, his servant, says, well, she has no son and her husband's getting pretty old. Verse 15, then Elisha said, call her in. So he called her in and she stood at the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms. And we'll read later on, sure enough, about that time the next year, she had a baby boy. God blessed her. God blessed her. Let me just give you a couple of quick thoughts. They're in your notes, I think. A couple of quick things that the Bible says when we allow God room in our life. When we seek out His presence in our life, when we open up space in our schedule for God to show up, let me tell you some of the things He does for us. Exodus 33:14 says, I will give you my peace. He says, I will go with you. I will give you my peace. I will send my peace to you if you just allow me in. Isaiah 43:2 says, I'll protect you. It says, you're going to go through fire, you're going to go through water, but I will be with you to walk you through that. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, the Bible says this, the man that places himself close to God, that draws near to God, that plants himself like a tree next to the river of God. When a man is willing to do that, then it'll make him prosper in everything that he does. Sometimes we say, well, Pastor, prosperity, you're teaching prosperity. You're saying I'm going to get rich if I spend time with God. I'm not saying you're going to get rich. I'm prosperous and I'm not rich, but I'm prosperous. Why? Because God is with me. Here's the thing. Joseph, if you read the story of Joseph in Genesis, the Bible says that Joseph, everything he put his hand to prospered and was successful. And the Bible says because the Lord was with him. In other words, he allowed the Lord room in his life and everything he did was prosperous and successful. You know where that happened? When he was a slave and when he was in prison. He wasn't rich. He didn't have any money. He was a slave. He was in prison. But he was prosperous and he was successful. Why? Because the Lord was with him. He made room for God. This is a good one too. Isaiah 45, 1 through 3. The Bible says this, that when we allow God into our life, when we make room for God, it says that he will break down the gates. He will open up the doors that you could never open. And he'll take all the crooked paths and make them straight. Some of you have been praying and you've been begging God for direction in your life. God, if I could just get an open door, if you could just show me what to do, if you could just open up the path for me. And God says this, if you'll just make room in your life and invite me into it, I'll kick down every door that's got to be kicked down. I will make every path straight. I will show you and lead you and guide you. That's my prayer this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm saying, God, lead me and guide me. I want to create space. The last one is this. That's a pathway. The last one is this. Is Acts 19, 11. The Bible says in Acts 19, 11, that Paul had God with him. It says the Lord was with Paul and did miracles through Paul. Can I tell you something today? God wants to give you power. But power only comes from presence. Power only comes from making room for God in your life. Some of y'all been saying, Pastor, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've been a Christian for 30 minutes. I don't know. I just feel like I'm not doing anything for God. I just come in and I sit and I leave and I just want to do something. I want to have power in my life. Create room for him. Make a room for God in your life. Invite him into it. Get other people to help you do that. Right? Convert some space and then expect his blessings in your life. About to pray. There's a story in the Old Testament about a man named Obed. And the Bible says that there was this ark, the ark of God. It was a box, basically. And in this box, they put some sacred items. And the Bible says that it was at that ark, at that box, that God would show up to meet with Moses. And then after Moses was dead, he showed up there and met with Joshua. And after Joshua was dead, he showed up there and he met with the priest, whoever the high priest was. And he would meet with important people at that box. And they would take that box sometimes and they would take it to battles with them, right? Because they wanted God to be with them. They invited God along for the ride. And so the Israelites, they'd go to battle, they'd bring the box with them and they'd go slay their enemies. But one time Israel was in sin. They weren't really serving God. They kind of messed up. And they took the box with them. And the enemy, the Philistines, stole the box from them. And the Bible says that David came along one day as the king and he got the box back. And he's bringing the box back into Jerusalem. And as he does, the Bible says that they were supposed to carry it on their shoulders. But instead, he was trying to be cool and he put it on an ox cart. And the ox stumbled and the box shifted and was about to fall. And this one guy reaches up and grabs the box. The problem is you were never supposed to touch it. And my boy dropped dead. Kind of a sad story. So David gets mad at God and says, this box is too dangerous. Let's put it in this guy's house. Like, if I'm Obed, I'd be like, no, man, I just saw that guy die. You're not putting it in my house. I might touch it on accident. You know what I mean? Like, I sleepwalk sometimes. And so they take it and they put it in Obed's house. And the Bible says that for 3 months, everything in Obed's house and on his property was blessed. I'm talking about like his grass. He was cutting grass 3 times a day just trying to keep up with it. His dogs were having like 15, 16 dogs. All those cows, he probably had 1 million cows out there. His kids grew 3 inches and had white teeth. It was amazing. The Bible didn't say all that. I might have made that part up. But he was blessed. For 3 months, he was blessed. Can I tell you what happened? He made room for the presence of God in his life. We're going to talk to you about making room for other stuff as this series goes on between me and Pastor Shane. But today, I want you to make room for God in your life. And some of you are not saved today. You're not a Christian. You're not serving God. And at the end of the day, you need to make room for God just to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Just to say, God, I love you and I want to be a part of you. But there's others of you, you've been Christian for a long time. And maybe because you are such a good Christian that you feel like you can kind of skate by on just 5 minutes here and 2 minutes there. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants a room. God wants space in your life. He wants you to dedicate something.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.